You may be seated. Our scripture reading today is from Matthew 20, verses 8 to 16. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call for the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received only each a denarius. And when they had received it, they murmured against the landowner, saying, "This last man who worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who had borne and burdened the heart of the heat of the day?" But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for 1 denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is it your eyes evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen." This is the word of God.
So last week we were talking a little bit about God's grace, and we were wondering just how far and how deep God's grace goes in reaching all of us who need him. I thought about this a lot. I was on a little retreat this past week. I took some time out on this lonely canyon. I've gone this past 2 years to do the same thing. I just go out and walk this canyon, just myself and God, and just, you know, pray and think. And it's always an amazing time. This year I had eagles, you know, flying around where I was walking. I took that as a great sign of God's grace and his presence. I also had lightning strike about 20 feet away or 20 yards from where I was camped. So I wasn't sure about that message. But I thought a lot about grace. And I thought a lot about this story. Back in World War II, there was a man named Henry Garrick. He was a chaplain. He spent the war ministering to the sick and to the wounded in England, and then in France after D-Day. So by the time that the war ended in 1945, he was ready to come home. He was 52 years old by then. He was sick of war, hadn't seen his wife in 2 years. But the army came to him with a proposition, an assignment for him. And it was a tough one. In fact, they said he didn't have to take it. In fact, they encouraged him not to take it. But upon hearing what it was that they wanted, Garrick thought he really needed to pray about it. See, what they needed, they needed a pastor. They needed a chaplain to minister to 21 former Nazi officers who were being held at Nuremberg for trial on charges of crimes against humanity. Now, Garrick was well aware of the devastation and the horror that these men and others had been responsible for. His own sons had been wounded severely in the European theater. But he said that as he prayed about these men who many would consider monsters, he said that to him they just became souls who needed help. But the question was, would he be able to really do any good? Isn't there a time, isn't there a point beyond which a soul cannot be redeemed? I mean, was God's grace so deep and so wide that it could extend even to these most murderous, cruel individuals? Well, Garrick decided to go ahead and take the assignment. It would be a hard assignment. And always going through his mind would be this question: could these men be redeemed? And isn't it true that the rewards of God's kingdom are given out on a sliding scale based on your deeds? And if so, could these men even appear on the grid? They were that bad. Well, that question of whether or not the rewards of the kingdom are given out on a sliding scale, that was on the minds even of the disciples of Jesus as they followed him. Peter once asked Jesus, he said, "Look, what are we going to get when the rewards of the kingdom are given out? After all, we've given up so much to follow you. We've given up our homes. We've given up time with our families. We've given up all of our comforts. What will we get when the rewards are given out?" Well, Jesus assured them that indeed they would receive wonderful blessings, not only in the kingdom of heaven, but in the world in which they lived, in the kingdom as it existed around them, that they would receive great blessings. But he also warned them. He said, in the kingdom, there are going to be many surprises. He says, for instance, those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last. So he said to Peter, before you start calculating what you're going to get over and above everybody else, just remember that there will be surprises in the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes and he tells this story that we heard read today. The story goes basically like this. There's a vineyard owner, and he has a big harvest of grapes that he wants to bring in. So he goes down to the marketplace in the morning, about 6 a.m., to find a crew to bring in these grapes. And there he finds a wonderful group, skilled workers, motivated workers. They're go-getters. They are determined to get out there and do a good day's work for a day's pay. Well, Jesus says that the vineyard owner, he gathers them up and he says, yes, I've got work for you in the vineyard. And he offers them a good wage, a denarius for the day. He takes them out and they begin to work. Well, as the sun begins to rise, it gets to be about 9 o'clock in the morning, and those go-getters, they're out there, they're toiling in the hot sun. The vineyard owner goes back to the marketplace to get some more workers. Now, what he finds there are some good, skilled, determined workers who just for some reason or other, you know, they just didn't make it early enough. They weren't there at 6 a.m. Maybe they had an ailing parent at home that needed help. Maybe there was a kid that was up late. For whatever reason, they just couldn't get there. But the vineyard owner, he gives them another chance. He says, you come on and you work for me. So they accept it readily and they go off to the vineyard. Now, it makes a lot of sense that he would go and look for workers at 6 a.m. and at 9 a.m. But this vineyard owner, Jesus said, does it a third time and a fourth time. He goes back down to the marketplace at 12 o'clock and at 3 o'clock to find more workers. Now, you might expect that the workers who were there that late maybe aren't so interested in work. Maybe they would really rather not have a job that day. But maybe someone forced them to go down there. Maybe, you know, you're not going to get any, you know, you're not going to get the keys to the car unless you put some gas in it, that kind of thing. So there are workers there, but maybe they're just on the edge of even wanting a job. But the vineyard owner doesn't care. He comes in, he offers them work. He says, yeah, you come on to my vineyard. Come on. Come on, you can work for me. So these men, maybe reluctantly, you know, they get in the truck and they go out to the vineyard. Remarkably, though, 5 o'clock comes. One more hour left to work. One more hour. Vineyard owner goes down to the marketplace looking for workers. Now, you can imagine the kinds of people he might find there now, right? These are the people that in the scriptures they define themselves. They say, we are the people that no one else would hire. These are the rejects. These are the washed up. They're the too old. They're the infirm. These are the broken ones. These are maybe even the criminal ones. Can't get work. But that vineyard owner goes in and he offers them a chance to come to the vineyard. They accept and he brings them out. Well, an hour goes by. It's 6 o'clock. It's time to pay everybody. Vineyard owner comes out and he first calls up these people that he picked up at 5 o'clock. These are the ones who couldn't work. They were practically worthless to the cause of the vineyard, but he calls them up. He pays them a full wage of a denarius for the day. He does the same thing for the 3 o'clock people, the noon people, and the 9 o'clock people. Pays them a full wage. Finally, he calls up the go-getters, the ones who were there early, the ones who toiled all day, the ones who would just do anything to do just a good job. Well, they're livid. They're angry because the vineyard owner gives them exactly the same. One denarius for a day's wage. They can't believe it. It's so unfair. But see, what they don't understand is that the vineyard owner is not thinking of things the same way as they are. He's not paying people based on what they can contribute. He's paying people based on what they need. And every single one of those workers, whether they were early or late, skilled or unskilled, determined or not so much, they all needed a denarius for that day. Well, those go-getters, man, they're angry. Oh, and they're resentful. But the vineyard owner, he tries to reason with them. You know, he says, look, the fact that I'm generous with these guys, that hasn't taken away from your wages? Not at all. Why should you begrudge them? He says, take your money and go. I wanted to pay the last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do with what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I'm kind to others? You see, what Jesus is saying is God's grace is for him to give in any way he wants. Ours is only to accept it or not. You see, God gives all of us, a lot of slack, you know. He really gives us a lot of grace. a lot of slack from this unlimited length of rope. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we know that we need every foot of slack that we can get. I mean, that parable is not meant to be a business model. We know that if we ran a business that way, you wouldn't have a business very long. And then nobody would benefit. But it is a picture of His grace. And not only the grace that He extends to each of us, but the way that He would like us to extend grace to each other in any way that we possibly can. To give each other a little slack. Whether we think we deserve it or not. Because as the writer of Ecclesiastes said, not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. When it comes to God's blessings, none of us is ever going to win the I deserve it contest. See, God knows. God knows that none of us is ever going to be good enough for heaven. So He provides a way through Jesus, through faith in Jesus, that we can all be stamped approved. And it doesn't matter if we come early and accept that grace early and stay with Him throughout our lives, or whether we come broken and limping up at the end. God doesn't see us in terms of our deeds. He sees us in terms of our need. And we're all in need of that grace. At the beginning or at the end of the line. Well, Garrick's ministry of grace began with him visiting with each of the Nuremberg 21 in their cells. They were all very cordial to him. But some were standoffish. They just wanted to engage in like intellectual debates about Christianity, you know. Over time, though, some of them became comfortable and content to sit with this down-to-earth pastor and tell them about the things that they had seen and the things that they had done. Garrick started up a worship service that was pretty well attended. There was a lot of singing, you know. But he continued to meet with them individually. And over time, he began to gain their trust. And he began to draw them out and draw them in to this circle of God's grace, to begin to trust in that grace. And he said over time, he found himself kneeling and praying with these men who had been among the most feared in the world as they asked God for mercy. As the time for their trials began to wind to a close, many of them, Garrick said, became so repentant and so penitent that he felt it was okay to offer them Holy Communion. And he wrote of one man in particular who took the bread and the wine, he said, with just tears flowing down his face, saying, "May Christ my Savior stand with me all the way, because I will need Him so much." You see, he knew that in this life, he would have to pay for his deeds, but that in heaven, Jesus would plead for him in light of his need. Well, finally, it came time for the 10 of the 21 who were condemned to death to actually go to the gallows. And Garrick sat with each one of them individually on that day. Some of them remained hard of heart. They refused his hand. They refused his prayers. Garrick would write later, those were men who had lived their whole lives without a Savior, and they chose to die the same way. But there was one man in particular, an officer named von Ribbentrop. He had made this incredible evolution from hardened skeptic to penitent believer. Garrick said that he walked the 13 steps up the scaffold with von Ribbentrop, who stood on the trap door while they bound his legs and they prepared that black hood that they would put over his face. And at that time, he was heard to say, I place all my confidence in the Lamb who made atonement for my sins. May God have mercy on my soul. But then he turned to Garrick and he said, I will see you again. And then they released the trap door. Okay, if God's grace is as deep and as wide and his reach so limitless as this parable of Jesus indicates, and if von Ribbentrop's confession of faith was as sincere as it seemed, then we have to believe, right? And don't we have to hope that those two men indeed did meet again? See, we don't know what's in a person's heart. We don't know what's in a person's heart. But if a von Ribbentrop or a you or a me reaches out and grabs hold of that hand of God extended to us in his grace through Jesus, then we will not be seen in light of our deeds. We will be seen in light of our need. And we'll be in his vineyard. We'll be recipients of that grace that comes sometimes blessedly at the beginning, but also equally blessedly at the end of the line. You know, that idea of that kind of grace is not that easy for people to accept sometimes. Upon his death in 1961, Garrick's son found this huge file in his dad's desk that was just stuffed with letters from all over the country excoriating him in the most vile terms for having ministered to those men. A testament to how far the world needs to go to understand what Jesus is all about. The heart of the gospel. And maybe how much work we have to do with our families, with our friends, in explaining that glorious grace that saved those men and will save us too. Praise God today, huh? Praise God today for that grace. Praise God for that grace that is given to us and is extended to us at the beginning and at the end of the line. And thank God that we can walk with him as people already given to him walk in the light of that grace. Let us pray. Oh, Jesus, how hard it is sometimes for us to grasp your grace and your love, to grasp the reason that you came, the reason that you live, the reason that you died and rose again. But help us, oh God. Help us each day to be refreshed in that understanding and even re-inspired to tell a hurting world that that grace is there. That grace is there at the beginning or at the end or in the middle or any time by your Son. Amen.